I'm just going to talk about mobile podcasting. So it's not so much that type of technology that your flip cameras and all those sort of things. It's more phones. And this has come out of other work which we've been leading in Sheffield, we're involved around these beautiful things, the QR code, and how you might use those from an educational perspective. So there's a bit of a report coming up, and there'll be a feed into
this book that everyone's talking about. Now that I've finished the chapter, I can actually say that.
The last 18 months I've been very, very quiet on this topic. Right, but now I've actually got something to talk about. So what I'm really hoping to do is it's a bit of a heads up, because there's a lot of interest in the student-generated podcast. As you know, and think about the context about how your students may have created their podcast, going back to the desktop, etc. And we're seeing rapid innovations in people's phones and what the phones can do. So the ability of going to a website, downloading, playing stuff. We've got changes in tariffs which encourage it. We've got better connectivity through Wi-Fi. We've got the ability now not only just to create audio but video as well on phones and create them in format that can be readily shared. So that's the sort of thing that we're finally seeing, those that have been interested in mobile learning. Finally think we're getting over those hurdles now, so that we can look back to it being the learner being mobile and not so much the technology. And I've just mapped it back to one of those things that if you had a spare 15 minutes and would like to read is the Lee article there, which is really nice because they're talking about student-generated, where they're creating 3 or 4 minute type conversations about the outcome of a lecture or an event or something like that, which they're sharing informally with others to listen to. So it's got all of that nice stuff people were talking about this morning going on, and way well mapped quite nicely across the stuff that Ruth's thinking about as well. So that's all well and good. We're seeing lots of stuff through the literature. We're seeing the obvious transferability. Let's close that little thing. Me and PowerPoint. Yes, find it there. So the question really that stemmed from a much wider survey is all around the idea of it looks great on paper. We've got really comfortable about the learning model that sits behind it. But they've got a slight barrier. Do they own the technologies now, or are we going to be waiting, etc., or are we going to have to be supplying devices to these? So historically, people have supplied devices for fieldwork, etc., to capture. So do they own it, and are they willing to use it? This is the basic premise of this. And plus a million other issues around QR codes that are very exciting, but I'm not allowed to talk to this event. Right, so there's 2,700 students. There's a quick overview of the sort of data coming out and any messages. Just got the survey only recently closed, so we're just getting the data through. It's got Sheffield involved, Bath involved, University of Gloucestershire and University of Leicester. So we've got 4 institutions that participated in this. Mostly nice mixed male-female, as you expect, 50-50. Majority, 75% of them are the 18 to 22 range. So what came through from here, we didn't do a big thing about what you own, because most people, you just get cluttered with the questions. So we're using sort of proxies, and we're saying, well, if you've got a phone, a camera phone that can record video, the likelihood is you've got the player on it, the player will therefore be able to do the audio. If you've got a camera phone technology, you're likely therefore to be able to capture audio. So we take that as a proxy, as a nice indicator. If you own a camera phone, you should be able to capture lots of stuff going on in the place that you want to capture it in. And we're getting back that 93% of them had that. To help us on the connectivity thing, issues, we've got the Wi-Fi phone enabled and the data package plan, so the tariff. So for instance, here, I'm not logged onto the Wi-Fi, but as soon as I get a reception, I can use my normal data tariff to move as much data as I like up. So I can upload all those beautiful videos I've captured from today somewhere so that somebody can automatically view them. So it's that point that was made, I think, earlier about being able to capture it with warts and all and emotion, and you're not having a filtering process by doing an asynchronous thing where they've reflected on it before they do the update. Though you would like the reflection as well, so you're probably looking for many more things there. One of the things that we're particularly interested in is, it's a 30-30-30 split here. Yes, no 30, but very interestingly, a lot of students have no idea if they have a data plan or tariff within their phone plan, which is quite enlightening. A lot of them may have that or may not, but there's an awareness issue and a training issue coming through there. So from that, we could probably say that in terms of capabilities of capturing and playing, yes, transferring stuff, big questions about that still. Especially if they were out in somewhere with a not, in other words, they weren't in Starbucks. The issue of Wi-Fi connectivity comes through. The next question was, would you be willing to pay for your learning materials on your theory? And this really didn't try to steer them away from usability, i.e. I might be willing to pay, but it's probably not going to work on a small screen device because it's in these various things. So it's trying to close that view down and just say, nuts and bolts, would you be willing to pay? And as you see from this, the emphasis is very much on very unlikely or unlikely, which was fine there. So I suppose the meanings or what messages were taken out from that, so far I haven't got disheartened. I haven't talked to Graham, who's last number of your students who are involved in this as well, to sort of unpick what's going on. But just as a quick heads up now, it's sort of the view that it's not so much a technical barrier as economic and awareness. So we might have to revisit ideas of looking at tariff subsidies for moving data around, which some institutions have talked about and others have talked about. Maybe a better model. Use what's in your pocket and we'll help pay your tariff, as opposed to here's a load of kit that you're not going to use that often and the battery will run down and when you want to use it, you won't be there. So there's issue there. Issue about student awareness, I think, very much on... what sort of phone have they got? Is this available? Because the more you look at the QR code questions as well, the more you realise not many people have a full grasp of the applications that sit on their phone. So, again, there's an awareness thing there.
Or how to install.
So, and again, I think this the scalability which comes out in the sort of need to sort of develop. Is it on this one? It should be on this one. The idea that... support groups, communities of practice at the local level in the group. It's not here's your guide, it's really helping each other unpack what's on the phone and how to use it, as opposed to just saying, go online and look at my guide. The other thing I suppose to make in that terms that there's no showstoppers going on, these things can be overcome. I think we need to think very hard, this is the point from Geraldine, who's part of the Bath team, is to think about the awareness and the willingness to pay can be overcome with value. There's the perception, the trade-off. Do I want to participate in this or not? Can participate, as many of the open text responses were saying, by just going online. If I go to a computer, I perceive it's free because it's all covered in somebody else's tariff or it's all covered in my channel. These big screens and it's quick. So it's those types of things about thinking what you're shifting, what you're offering or not. So that was really what I wanted to introduce, the idea that we're talking a lot about student-created stuff. We've got the issues of enhancing technology rapidly from a phone, which is offering us better camera options than we've ever had before. Are we yet to see takeoff in that space, or are there still many hurdles? And what can you, practitioners, academics, etc., do to help reduce it? And then it would dovetail very nicely with Ruth's work to think, where did they do it, and would they find value in capturing those thoughts in schools on a phone compared to going back to a PC in a school or a home when you've got all of that reflective filtering lens stuff going on? Okay. Any questions?
Are there still a lot of technical issues between getting the video or whatever you're capturing off your phone and out there?
Yes. I'd say that there's some sort of different models which, we're hoping that a lot of the service... You can either do it through the web and the service. So, for instance, if I caught something on my phone and I wanted to transfer it, I would just transfer the file as you would normally do on a PC by going to my repository area and just dropping it in there, and after X time, it goes through. So there's ways of getting around that, and that's where the connectivity sits, really. So it can be done. You can put it into file repositories like your VLE or whatever to be RSS'd out or to sit in there normally.
But lots of things produce lots of weird formats.
A lot of them, again, this is where the advice I think you're right. If it's audio, it's fine, it's MP3. Most of the phones record to an MP4 format for video, so that's fine. And most of, because they're recording, capturing an MP4 format, then the players that come with them, the mobile one, the Windows one, etc., is fine.
Building on what Ruth had said, if you've got teachers, and I know that they're VGCE, but if they're going out to a primary school, and is there not a security issue?
There's a huge security issue.
Yeah, because of the children,
Absolutely.
Would you have to have parents?
I mean, we just couldn't go down that line under present circumstances. It would be an enormous problem.
They did some work with at Bristol, the education part of education, their graduate school, with their PGC about using handhelds in the classroom, finished up creating quite a support material around that. And that was one of the issues for that group, is that you couldn't actually use it in that space in that way. So you had to come up with alternative strategies.
I'm not, given the widespread ownership of laptops, I'm not quite sure why, why that medium instead of just my or more PCs and laptops, what's the medium case you can carry it around a bit more?
Yeah, and it's the spontaneity, I think, is quite interesting, because you know, a lot of the times I carry the laptop around, and I also carry that, and if I haven't got the laptop and something's happening, or I think of something, or I think, oh, that'd be a wonderful thing to capture to show later on in some other part of teaching.
Mostly going from the mobile back up rather than down the other direction.
It's not delivering into the mobile phone, but it's capturing.
It's capturing on the mobile phone, and yeah, a lot of people, I think, will probably access it or view it on a much larger screen with a quick coffee, etc. But it's the ability to capture that. Alternatively, some might, and I think this is where it's very much niching, that we can't assume all will or large majorities, we're working to quite small percentages.
There's also the location specific stuff. I mean, here people are dealing with media state devices where you move around, you see different video audio. But if you just with a QR code, you can have actually a treasure trail where you take the pitch and it gets you a bit of a web page, gives you a clue to the next place, asks a question. I was actually at the mobile learning summer school in Brest this summer. I've got the notes if anyone wants them. They have one every year. And I was wondering how much ordinary phones can now do the same sort of stuff you used to do with these MediaScape devices.
Definitely. I think with the ability to capture, you're less reliant on writing something in MediaScape and get it installed on phones, and then you tend to write it for one phone type because of the GPS location and stuff Google are doing, the ability to capture pictures on the fly that are GPS stamped and move them around. So definitely something. MediaScape may need to be rethinking the model of how we do location. That's structured, though, isn't it? That's more of a formal structured activity, and we might be looking at more informal stuff and student generated. Okay.